A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Very good morning to you, Namibia. It is Friday. Thank goodness it is Friday. So, how is your Friday this morning? Well, mine, it is Friday, of course. So, you know, there's no, you know, Friday is always, it always brings some kind of vibe, a different vibe than other days. Actually, when you're looking forward to Saturdays where you can rest for those who actually don't go to work on Saturdays. So yeah, maybe that's why it brings some different vibe than other days. So it is Friday. And how is your Friday wherever you find yourself in this very beautiful land of the brave? So welcome. So thanks for joining us. Welcome to your number one talk radio station. And this is your favorite station, Eagle FM. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day. So your daily dose of what really is going on in terms of business, economics, and politics. And every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, you know, what is trending, and the numbers that are making actually headlines. And we keep it clear, a little witty here, and always, always, always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views and the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. Very good morning to you. Our time is 3 minutes past the hour of 8. And welcome to Unpacking the Day. Today is the 26th of September. For some reason, I just feel that the days are going too slowly. The days are going too slowly. Maybe I wanna be somewhere probably, and it's just that the days are going slowly, man. They're too slow for me. So yeah, today is the 26th of September. The year is 2025. So let's start, how we start every day. So with our first segment of On This Day in Africa. So what happened on this day in Africa? On September 26, 1993, the U.S. government issued Executive Order 12865, which significantly affected Angola. Now, this order was issued during the long-running Angolan Civil War, 1975 to 2002. So, and was intended to cripple. So the executive order was intended to cripple UNITA, a rebel movement. So it prohibited all U.S. aid to Angola, except through specified entry points, strictly forbade the supply of any aid to UNITA. And on 26 September 1992, well, Nigeria suffered a tragedy that shook the nation just days before its Independence Day celebrations. So a Nigeria Air Force C-130 Hercules transport aircraft crashed soon after taking off from Lagos. Among the dead were military personnel, many mid-ranking officers from Nigeria and several other African countries. So civilian passengers were also on board. So because the disaster came so close to the 1st October anniversary of Nigerian independence, so President Ibrahim Babangida at that time cancelled all planned celebration, including the presidential speech and the national parade, and as a mark of a national mourning. So, And another key historical milestone related to the September 26 in South Africa occurred in 1992 when the South African government and the African National Congress, ANC, signed a record of understanding. Now, this agreement set out a timetable for establishing a constitutional assembly, creating an interim government, and addressing issues related to the political prisoners as well. So this was a crucial step in the negotiation process towards ending apartheid and transitioning now to the democratic governance. And today, September the 26th, is recognized as the International Day for the Total Elimination of Nuclear Weapons. Today is recognized as International Day for the total elimination of nuclear weapons, highlighting Africa's engagement as well with global disarmament efforts, alongside also commemorating its own historic struggles, its own Africa's historic struggles and aspirations. So, yeah, International Day for the Total Elimination of Nuclear Weapons. That's all what we have for you on this day in Africa. So, Friday, September the 26th. So, what is the thought for the day? What is our thought for the day today? So, our greatest glory is not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall. Our greatest glory is not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall. So this, there's a quote from Confucius. It emphasized the value of resilience and perseverance. Now, it suggests that true honor lies not in avoiding failure, but in our ability to recover and continue after setbacks. So this perspective encourages embracing challenges as opportunity for growth, highlighting that personal strength is demonstrated through the courage to rise after each fall. So, our greatest glory is not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall. I hope this thought would help you in the decision and choices that you make throughout the day today. By now, embracing challenges as an opportunities for growth. Well, that's our thought for the day. Very good morning to you. If you just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day, coming to you directly from Ondangwa Studio on Eagle FM. Our time is about 9 minutes past the hour of 10 minutes. It jumped to 10 minutes. 10 minutes past the hour of 8. So what can you expect today in our show? It's fully packed. It's quite packed, and stay tuned because there's a lot to expect on our show this morning. What the new borders control measures specifically for horticultural products. So we're going to talk about that, and we will speak to someone from the NAB and able to discuss what is behind closing and opening of some horticultural products. So we're going to do that probably just in 5 minutes from now. And then if we still have time, farmers welcome processing centers in all region is something that we leave a little bit. We touched on just a little bit yesterday. Some people wanted to say, and I didn't finish the whole things because there are some interesting things that farmer talked about that I would like, you know, for us to maybe digest as well. So, because this is President Netumbo Naitwa has announced a plan to build these centers across all 14 regions. What are the farmer? The farmer welcome the processing centers in all the regions. And what we will hear, what are the issues that are coming out from this? And if we have some, and this is very important, it's also in today's edition of the of Eagle FM, not Eagle FM, The Villager, all right? So there is a survey done looking at anti-competitive behaviors across many different sectors in Namibia. So it's a very interesting survey, and I would like really for us to please make sure that you subscribe to the Villagers, because you can be able to read for yourself. But I wanted it also to, you know, together to look at some of the very behaviors that has been highlighted in the service that is anti-competitive when it comes to Namibia economy. So it's very, very interesting. If we don't have enough time to discuss that, we push it to Monday, because I want us to look at some of those aspects and have your opinion as well. So as you can see, it's fully packed. Don't move away. We will be right back.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikao shafasana na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende timemeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa letu Moambo, dengera selma, konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oandiyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye. Get social with us on Twitter.
Welcome back. Welcome to Eagle FM. And let's go back to this quick commercial and then we'll be back.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right, welcome back to Unpacking the Days, where we dissect the issues shaping our nation. This October, from the 1st to the 31st, 2025, the Namibia Agronomic Board is implementing significant and proactive new border control measures, specifically for horticultural products. So these measures are anticipated to have substantial impact, prompting discussion into their intended purpose and potential outcomes. Now, are these measures designed
to bolster and protect our dedicated local farmers, or do they carry the potential risk of impacting food availability and affordability for Namibians? Joining us to shed light on this is someone with her finger on the pulse of Namibia's horticulture landscape. Please welcome Emily Abraham, Horticulture Market Development Manager at the Namibia Agronomic Board. Good morning, Emily. It is great to have you with us.
Yes, good morning, Michael, and good morning to all listeners. I think I'm grateful to be on this platform this morning.
All right. So could you, let's start off. So could you explain the main purpose behind the Namibia Agronomic Board issuing this closed and open border notice for October 2025?
Thank you, Michael. I just want to start by explaining, drawing now the conversation from how you describe it from the beginning to say, are we doing justice to the consumers? Are we protecting farmers only and perhaps overlooking our consumers? And perhaps I might just highlight at the beginning that we are prioritizing three key fundamental stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
On daily basis, which are now the traders, the buyers.
Yeah.
Because without the buyers, then our farmers are not able to sell.
Mm.
And then we have now the main one, which is the consumer, because without the consumers, nobody will be able to take produce that will be on the shelves.
Yeah.
And then the primary producers, which are now the farmers. So those are the key three fundamental stakeholders that we put into consideration for every deliberate effort, for every initiative, for every intervention that we are implementing. Those three key fundamental stakeholders are put into consideration. So coming to start by explaining why are we doing it? What does it mean?
Yeah.
So the closed and open border periods implementation, it's actually part of what we call market share promotion scheme, a scheme that was established to promote the sale of locally produced product and stimulate local production of horticultural product in the country. If you look back then in 2005, you'll be able to agree with me that 95% of our horticultural produce was coming from outside, mainly South Africa.
Yeah.
And that is where now MSP was born, to look at it to say, look, we cannot continue depending on other countries for food.
Yeah.
We need also to start doing something. And hence, MSP was then born as a growth at home strategy for us to grow home. So when you talk about now growth, obviously you have to grow something that is still young or a baby or infant. And if I have to use the metaphor from the, for example, family perspective, when you have a small baby in the family, you have to do all means, you have to do all the strategy to make sure that this baby one day will be able to stand on her feet or his feet and be able to walk.
Mm.
Because she can't feed herself, she can't eat. Even if she can eat, you can't also put her together with the bigger ones, because otherwise they will outcompete her, and eventually you see that she'll develop kwashioko symptoms or malnutrition symptoms.
Yeah.
And that's why if you now bring it back to the Namibian concept, Namibia industry, horticulture industry in particular, is a baby.
Yeah.
If we allow now the producers that are now toiling and having carriages to be under the sun for them to produce food for ourselves, if we allow them to compete with other producers in other countries, let me give reference to South Africa where we normally get most of our product.
Yeah.
For them, the farmers in the other side, they have muscle. They have economics of scale. They are sourcing their production inputs from their country, unlike us that we are importing almost everything.
Yeah.
We are importing seed, we are importing fertilizers, we are importing the agrochemicals such as a pesticide, we are importing almost everything.
Mm.
So, but for them, they are sourcing everything there in their country, and hence their production cost is very lower. You find that a Namibian producer will even produce a crop probably double to what the South African producer is producing. Yeah. And that's why that competition already can be a throat-cut competition to our farmers, and hence we look at it to say, let us identify out of 136 horticulture products that we import from outside. Let us identify, we started with two, which was onion and potato.
Yeah.
And then we end up gradually increasing because our farmers were also inspired. They were now encouraged. They started now expanding their field. And currently we are standing at 20 out of 136. Mm. So what we look at it is to say those crops, they were listed as the main crop that we Namibian consumer consume in a larger quantity.
Yeah.
And also our farmers are also able to produce it in a larger quantity at a certain period of time. Mm-hmm. And hence now for us, we don't just wake up in the bath and decide to close the borders and say the borders are closed for beetroot, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What we normally do is that we register farmers free of charge. And I want to encourage those that are not registered to be registered so that we have a clear picture of who is producing what and where is that farmer. So every month we collect the data so that we focus to see. In October, for example, are we able to have enough beetroot in the, supply in the local market? Or do we need probably traders to import in so that they augment the local volume? So what we normally do is that we do research, we collect the data from the farmers themselves. Sometimes we even drive to the farmers to verify.
Yeah.
So we collect the data, they tell us no. I planted the cabbages, what I expected to harvest this tonnage. We then aggregate those figures, and then we have a clear picture that the country can bring on the table sufficient quantity that can feed our people.
Yeah.
Now, so that is basically what we normally do, and then that is when now we close the borders when we have enough, with the understanding that our farmers can carry the stomach of our consumers, and whenever the markets are coming to us, we are able to refer them to people or individuals that are planting specific crops.
Yeah. So you mentioned quite a lot of important factors there. What are the key factors that determine which horticulture product are open or closed for import during this period?
Yes, there is actually a lot of factors that are involved. I spoke about earlier the quantity that farmers are able to bring on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Say, for example, you find that on the notice, you find some crops are open without restriction. But we still emphasize to say 47% MSP is applicable. So what it means is that those farmers, the crops that are open without restriction, it means that our farmers are able to bring on the table a very small quantity below 47%.
Mm.
That's what it means, because 47% is our threshold. Okay? So if you see that the crop is closed, for example, on a pro-rata basis, meaning that we have farmers that are able to bring on the table maybe 80%, for example, for beetroot, but the 20% need to come from outside the country. So what we normally do is that we allocate each and every trader to say, look, you can bring this quantity for you to augment the quantity in the local or that is coming from the local farmers.
Mm.
So then you have some of them, they have maybe 50% or 40% because it differs, because it depends on the local supply or local availability. But again, I do not want to call it as a ban, because some people, they say, Namibia ban, what? Because this is just a periodic restriction that we do based on the availability.
Mm-hmm.
So if we realize, for example, because we don't sleep, we keep on monitoring the production.
Yeah.
And once we realize that, I think maybe mid-October, we are slacking a little bit on germ squash and we closed it earlier on, then obviously we have to lift the restriction or we loosen a bit and we open, because our main idea or our ultimate goal is to enhance food security in the country. When we talk about food security, its availability is one of the key elements of food security.
Yeah.
You need to have food available on the shelf for everyone. When I go to ShopRite, I must be able to access and able.
Mm.
And that's why we are very skeptical. We are always assessing. We go through the shop, even when you walk around, you find me walking around, I'm checking. So we also call them, ask, are you fine? Or maybe something happened to your crops or something. Some of them, they voluntarily tell us because we encourage them and educate them to say, look, You need to tell us when you see that your product is no longer marketable, or maybe you experience a pest problem outbreak that is beyond your control.
Yeah.
So you need to inform us so that we are able to lift the restriction and allow the traders to bring in the produce. Because the main idea of this closed border period, it's not to hamper businesses.
Mm.
Because we acknowledge that the businesses, they are employing our people, and without so those businesses, obviously our sisters and brothers will be stranded in the street. And that's why, like I said from the beginning, we strike the balance, and whatever that we do, we have consideration of our key fundamental stakeholders, which is now consumers. They are included, traders are included, and also producers are included. But again, I want to emphasize with Michael to say Namibia needs to grow.
Yeah.
And when something needs to grow, you need to implement some approach. They might be seen aggressive, but at least the industry will think later.
Yeah. You mentioned to strike a balance, and so you probably have mentioned a little bit earlier on. But the how does now the board decide on, especially on the pro rata importation percentage for certain mm-hmm. product, and, mm-hmm. and what impact does this have now on the local producers?
Yes, what normally happens is that, if we realize we search, let me give an example, for example, of maybe cabbage.
Yeah.
Just a specific crop. If we realize that our farmers, when we aggregated the figure, they are only able to satisfy 70% of our domestic demand, because we are already clear as to what quantity Namibia require for specific crop.
Mm.
Yes. Now, what happened is that once we realize that our farmers, if we consume only 300 tonnage of cabbage, for example, per month.
Yeah.
And our farmers can only bring about maybe 200 and something, but there is still slight, a significant volume that we are not able to source it anywhere. That's what normally informs the prolater to say we are opening it not 100% but partially to allow the traders to bring in the quantity that they cannot source locally.
Mm.
And hence earlier on I indicated to say what we do, we calculate. We look at the trader requirement for a specific crop because they have the demand for each crop. They have to say, for example, for me per week, I normally trade sell. Let's use the word sell.
Yeah.
I normally transact or sell 100 tons, for example, of cabbage per week or maybe per month. Then we calculate now based on that to say if it's a 100, then you are only supposed to bring in 70 cabbages.
Mm.
30 cabbages, you source them from where? From the local market. I mean, no. If it's 30%, it means that 70 has to come from the local, 30 has to come from outside. So we tell you that strictly you bring in only 30 cabbages. So that is how the prolater is being calculated and being managed.
Okay.
And like I said again, we keep on monitoring to see if anything happens, because there are things that can happen beyond the farmer control. For example, during rain season, you might experience some challenges where the field is flooded. For example, if the field is flooded and the farmer is not able to harvest, for example, then you will have a situation where you have to lift the restrictions.
Yeah.
So that you allow the traders to be able to bring in the volume that our farmers are not able to supply. So our consideration mainly, it's more on the availability of stock. The stock must be available, whether it's being imported, whether it's coming from local, it must be available. However, we take cognizance of the fact that our traders, they should be encouraged all the time to support the local available product.
Okay.
They can then import only when it's absolutely necessary. So, and again, maybe I must also point out that during border closure, we also don't allow any farmer to inflate the price.
Yeah.
you are not allowed to inflate the price at all. It's a standing rule in the MSP rules and procedures.
But Emily, how do you control that?
It's very simple, Michael. What we normally do is that the traders, they come back to us and report.
Uh-huh.
Because these are the people that transact with each other. So once they realize that, now Emily cabbage was $15 per head, but when the borders closed this month, now she increased the cabbage to, for example, let's say 25 because the borders are closed. And it's something that happened also in the past.
Yeah.
Because there's always those ones that are trying to be smart for the system. So what we normally do is that we investigate you as a farmer. And once we realize that the investigation or the allegation holds water, we then have to advise you to go back to the normal price as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And they normally comply because they know that it's non-compliance and there is actually punitive measures that we normally take.
Okay. So what are some challenges traders now face with these border controls, and how does the board support them?
Yes, normally what happens is that because anything in life, you find that there will always be challenges.
Yeah.
Although if you are far from the fire and you are not the pot,
yeah,
you might not feel how hot the fire is. You find that sometimes the farmers, the traders will be complaining to say, the farmer that you are telling me is very far.
Mm.
And in South Africa there, I will be able to just find already things ready to load and then I come for conveniency. But what you always say is that, or probably they will also come to say, in Namibian products, some of them, they are very expensive. So we want to buy from there, especially when the price, for example, in South Africa is very, very low.
Yeah.
But again, the funny part is that when South Africa increase their price for some products,
mm-hmm.
they start to come running again. They want to apparently now get, refer as a producer of a certain product we want to buy locally, because obviously they saw that there the price is high.
Yeah.
And that is why I always say that we need to strike a balance, because in life the inconveniences will always be there. And if we keep on now saying that farm A is very far, we can't support farm A, you'll be able to find yourself in the situation that COVID-19 maybe will be back, or maybe COVID-2026. And we have an issue there at the borders and so many things and restriction, and you are unable to bring product from other countries while you have killed yours. Now, where will you get now product? And that's why we are saying that we need to strike the balance. And that's why we normally encourage them to say, look, you need to arrange. If, for example, you have a shop in Opuo and you send a truck every week in Opuo and that farmer is in Opuo, discuss with the farmer so that the farmer can bring the produce, the sender, the nearest or poor, and you can pick the product when the truck is coming back to Windhoek.
Yeah.
So it's an arrangement that have worked with others. So there's nothing difficult in life, I believe. So solution can always be made with the consideration that we need to grow our people so that one day we are able to stand on our feet. And I tell you, Michael, it's not to say Namibia will continue to be like this.
Yeah.
If with the necessary support, one day our farmers are able also to expand and be able to have muscle to compete. And obviously we'll not have this border closure or restrictions.
Mm.
So all what we are doing is that we are preparing a baby to grow, start working and start school and start competing with others. So that is all what we are doing.
All right. Now, you're talking about that we will be able to grow, but in terms of market sustainability, How does the open and closed border system help protect Namibia's farmers and markets?
Yes, that's a good question, Michael, and I've been waiting for it. Mm. Look, when you close the border for a specific product, it means that you have created 100% market access.
Yeah.
So what it means is that you close the border, for example, for a specific month, and you say all the farmers that have cabbages must first sell. And once they finish, we can then lift this restriction. So that in that way now you create a space that is convenient or that is favorable to a producer to be able to sell.
Yeah.
And I can tell you it's all about market. Without market, there is no need for a farmer to produce because you want to recoup what you have invested in a crop.
Mm.
If we want to discourage the farmers from planting, just remove the market access and you see that there's nobody who is willing to participate in production.
Yeah.
So that's why with this already scheme, I need to highlight perhaps just for you also and the listener to say, when we implemented this scheme, we were only able to produce 5%. That was long time. But today we are able to produce 47%. We are owning 47% on our Namibian supermarket shelf.
Mm.
And with some product like cabbages, mostly 100% or 98% of cabbages we sell, they are our own. And if you look at even some butternuts, even watermelon, which is even very difficult to transport, even if you open the borders, traders will find it difficult to transport watermelon in any ways. So those things, those cucurbits, we are able to produce them in a larger quantity such that we can say and be confident to say this is our own. So obviously, it's very clear that the closed border period is helping and we are seeing a tremendous growth in the sector. And we are also confident that maybe by 2030 or beyond, we are able to see Namibia be able to produce most of the crop, like 100% of what we consume.
Mm.
And that is what we are looking toward to see if we are talking about food sovereignty, if we are talking about food security or food self-sufficiency. Those are the directions that we need to start thinking to see how do we support our farmers through creating market access. And I think that closed and open border by far, I can confidently say that it's really helping a lot of farmers. And I can tell you, we even have what you call an official WhatsApp group. Every time the farmers are sending us information and we are posting, and they are so happy to give us positive feedback to say, we have sold everything and we are so happy. We see what you are doing.
Okay. And how are exclusion handled within these import regulations? And what categories of goods or traders might benefit from such exclusions?
Yes, that's a wonderful question. So what normally means is that when you pick a product for you to say you now start closing the borders, you need to investigate that product. Because an onion is not just an onion. An onion has a bigger family.
Yeah.
An onion has also sister crop. What do I mean? If you look at, for example, onion, there is brown onions. There is that white onions that people use for salad. There's also red onions, the one that people were buying during COVID-19. So there's quite a lot of onions, and there's also shallots, the onion that is combined with garlic.
Yeah.
So and it's come with a different flavor and so forth. So what you normally do is that before you decide which line you should close for importation, you investigate and you check which product of that specific line that you are able to produce in a larger quantity.
Yeah.
And that's why, as we speak now, the onion that we close for importation, when we say onion is closed, is only the brown onions, the one that commonly you find in the shops. So excluding now the red onions, excluding the shallot onions, excluding now those whitish onions that are used for salad, and any other related onion product that we don't produce in Namibia.
Hmm.
So basically, just to answer your question, is to say anything that Namibia does not produce, or we produce on a very limited quantity, we put it under exclusion because we cannot close border for something that is not available.
Mm-hmm.
So we only close the border for something that is available or that can be available at one particular point of time.
Yeah. No.
Yes.
Are there any particular products or crops that you foresee to be more affected by the border closures in this October?
The crop probably in a bad way or in a good way?
Well, both could be in a bad way or in a good way. Yeah.
Yes. Let me start maybe in a good way. I'll start, for example, with onions. Onion is a crop that we produce in a larger quantity.
Yeah.
And I would say that Namibia is very competitive when it comes to onion. To some stage, we even end up exporting to South Africa as well when they had the load shedding problem.
Yeah.
And we are also exporting our onion to DRC and also Angola. So it's a product that our produce. So when we close now the border, for example, for onions, because now we are approaching summer, or in any case, we are already in summer,
yeah.
And that is now the season for onions, most of the farmers, they would actually even find themselves struggling, because then the price also has to go down, because there are a lot in the market. So you find that onions, despite when the borders are closed, the price is so favorable, the traders are not complaining, producers are also protected from the onion that is coming from outside. I think in any case, onion and other product that we normally expect to have in a larger quantity during summer months, you find that the farmers, at least they are relieved in terms of the burden to compete with the product from outside. So that is just basically to create now the space to say, okay, sell what you have, and if we don't have any more, we can then open. But however, there are some products that you find that, for example, that are open.
Yeah.
If the product is open, it's actually, I'll put it to say, it affects negatively some farmers.
Mm.
Because if a product is open, it means that a trader has a choice to source anywhere.
Yeah.
And I have the liberty to actually buy from, for example, outside if the price is too low. So if then a lot of farmers are not in, and there is only maybe one or two farmers that are in and they have smaller volume, you find that they might actually suffer in terms of price, because they won't be able to compete with the price their counterpart in other countries are selling. So normally the issue that comes, the negative impact, is for the products that are open. And that's why you always encourage farmers to say, let us work together, let us coordinate. Mm-hmm. It cannot be true that this season we have a lot and we are wasting, and the other season we don't have anything, we have only few farmers that are in. Because those few farmers that are in will actually suffer, because then they'll be forced to reduce their price to the level of the import parity, or maybe what South Africans are selling, so that they'll be able to compete with their counterpart in South Africa or in other areas.
Yeah.
So normally the negative impact will come when the borders are open on the side of the producer, but then the trader, it comes with a lot of benefits, because they have liberty to source wherever they want, and they choose wherever there is also a cheaper price. And they can also go to the farmers and say, look, there is onion there in South Africa, it's $4. Mm-hmm. So give me a $5 edge if you want me to buy you. So they have actually that freedom, and they can actually use that period to make money. But all we can say is that we can't close something that is not available.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. So there's actually season for happiness and season for sadness or something, if I have to put it that way.
Mm. Now looking at Namibia's broader goals, for example, how do these border measures align with Namibia's broader agricultural and economic policy goals?
I think we align in so many ways. I will start with the food security, for example, the goal that everybody at all level think about. We always talk about food security. It's a buzzword.
Yeah.
So for you to achieve food security for a specific country, obviously you need to start encouraging your producers to produce more.
Mm.
Because then there's even an idiom that I might not say it clearly, but it's always said that a hunter, until you start hunting on your own,
yeah,
you always be given maybe even skin or fat or something.
Emily, there's a quick commercial coming up,
okay,
and then we continue.
Thank you so much.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
All right. So we're looking at the broader the border measures are aligning up with Namibia's broader agricultural and economic policy goals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. What I was trying to say is that we are very much aligned, and if you look at, for example,
The close and open border, like I explained earlier on, is to say we are creating market access to encourage and stimulate local production. And for you to achieve now the goal that everybody is speaking about, food security, enhancing food safe security,
yeah,
you can only achieve it when your own, they are able to produce enough food for consumption for your country. Because in any case, if you can't produce your own food and you are depending in other country for food, you are basically not 100% food security, although, I mean, secured. Although you can argue to say, I can actually access whatever food I want in the shop, you will never be food secured if you are not able to produce at least 50% of what you consume.
Yeah.
And that is why, if you look at this scheme, it has actually increased food production to nearly 50%. And we are now targeting to reach 60% in 2030. So that's already in on its own. It shows you that with this scheme, we are able one day to call ourselves food security or food secured.
Mm.
So for me, in that case, we are aligned.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, if you are having unhappy farmers that are not able to sell, and you are saying that these are the same farmers that should be able to contribute to food security, then that dream is a lie.
Hmm.
So I think we are very much aligned, and the more people are expanding the field when we are increasing production, the more they are creating jobs for the people, and the more we are also having a production capacity for the country to industrialize from. And remember, we are also not adding value. And one of the factors is that our production capacity is also low for industrialization for some crop.
Yeah.
But the moment we increase production, then you also have surpluses that one can actually run a sustainable industry to add value on a specific crop. Mm. So in so many things, it comes with the indirect benefit and direct benefits. And I think I'm very confident to say we are very much aligned, and without creating 100% market access for the Namibian farmer,
yeah,
then food security, achieving food security one day will be a lie.
All right. So, and yes, how does monitoring and enforcement work to ensure compliance with these import restrictions?
Monitoring, what happened is that the MSP is being assessed per quota.
Mm-hmm.
So we assess individual traders per quota. They submit their monthly returns to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we assess you as Michael to say, what percentage did you buy from local farmers?
Yeah.
And what percentage did you import? If Michael imported 98% and you only bought 8% from the local farmers, unfortunately, we have to allocate you a specific quantity,
mm-hmm,
so that we are able to encourage you to go back to the local farmer. So they are being assessed individually. It's an individualistic assessment, and you can actually be, there's also some punitive measures that will be able to encourage a trader to be able to source or from our local farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something just to say we are just saying MSPs work, but we do assessment. And they know very well, they submit the relevant document, we assess them. Those that are below the MSP, they will be allocated a restricted amount. Those ones that have done a great job, because there are those ones that are doing a great job. You find that they even bought more than the threshold. They even bought maybe 78% of what they sold in that period is actually just from local, either 80%.
Yeah.
So those people, we then reward them, we give them an incentive of unlimited, to say you are allowed to import without restriction in so many products that are open. However, you must take into cognizance that you still need to comply with the 47%. And a lot of them, they are striving to get that incentive of unlimited. And that's why you find that they really, we are improving every day. You find that they are coming to us to look, where do I get this product? Where do I get this product? So it's quite a very busy organization or an office. So we are busy connecting all the time the farmers, the trader buyers, the trader. They also want to achieve and boost their MSP so that they won't be penalized.
All right. So, and how important is, you have stakeholders that you mentioned earlier on, how important is the stakeholders' engagement in shaping this import and border policies, and how is it facilitated?
Yes, we actually prioritize stakeholder relations or engagement,
mm-hmm,
and you find that part of our key strategic objective is to enhance the stakeholder engagement. And you find that every month, or maybe probably quarterly basis, we have, because we have people on the ground that deals with the farmers, and they will find that they are basically engaging the farmers through meetings. We also do trainings when we pick up, for example, their needs. When we are engaging them, then we realize the specific needs. We arrange trainings for them as well. And for the traders also, we also engage them. We have what we call a national forum. A national forum normally sits twice.
Yeah.
Although sometimes we also sit on hard work basis if there's an industry need that need to be resolved. So what that forum comprises of is that there is consumer represented there, there is trader represented there, association, there's also informal market represented there, there is also producers represented there, the banking institution that are financing the industry, almost all the stakeholders are actually they come together, they sit. And we discuss now challenges that hampering the production and also the horticulture industry at large. And that is where most of the resolutions are being taken. We recommend now for board approval. And that's why we find that even when it comes to addition of product, when we are adding new product, we are not only deciding to add product, but we do a proposal, we present it at the stakeholder forum, and then look at it to say, no, no, NAB, you can't add this product. We are not ready for now. Even farmers are there, even traders. Or they can say, yes, we are ready. We are prepared. It can be produced in a larger quantity, and hence we can add it. So all the decision that we take or the board take, it is basically also coming, I mean, it's an industry decision. We seek industry approval for us to be able to take all the decision that you see. Even initiatives, everything, even the document, the MSP rules and procedures that is guiding our scheme that where the closed and open borders now is emanating from. It is actually consisted of rules that were comprised by the industry itself, and that's why when we are implementing this, they have no problem because it is their rules. So we are highly consultative, and that's why I'm proud to say that we are actually one of the organizations that is very engaging, and we are engaging our traders and producers, consumer, everybody on a daily basis.
Okay. Maybe you could also shed light on a cross-border cooperation with neighboring countries regarding these horticultural trade relations. What is the relationship with our neighboring countries?
Yes. Obviously, it's normal to have a good relationship, or that is also sometimes will not be really good.
Yeah.
Even from the, if we come from the village where we come from, you find that if you have, for example, your goats and your goat happen to go in someone's field, at some point you might not even start talking, and because of that. Or maybe sometimes you are also doing something that the neighbor is feeling that it's supposed not to be done this way.
Mm.
So I can tell you, Michael, that there are things that I would say that our neighbors might not be happy.
Yeah.
Yes, because especially when it comes to closed and open borders. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you are a trading partner, somebody's producing, for example, for your country, or the producers are producing for your country, targeting the market.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, you close the borders, they are not able to enter through. So obviously, they will feel that, no, you are being unfair, and they're supposed to bring in their product. But Michael, if you look at it either globally, you find that in most of the countries they are actually implementing some restrictions somewhere, even if it's not on horticulture but on some different commodities.
Exactly.
For the industry to be able to pick up and also stand on its feet. And that's why you find that yes, some of the things you listen to them and be able to sit down and resolve them. But it takes time for people to understand what you are doing. To understand.
Yeah.
So, that I will really agree with you that some neighbors might not be happy, but all I can say is that if I have to be in particular, for example, the South African that we are trading mostly, they're actually even gaining more as compared to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at the money that the import bill, it's quite very high.
Yeah.
Because even if it's, we get almost everything from South Africa. So, and taking only 20 crops that you are closing border for to grow your industry, I don't think really it's a very big deal. It's something just that requires, I think, sitting and then reach amicable solution, which is, I know already the sittings are ongoing.
Yeah.
And I think eventually we'll be able to understand each other. But all I'm saying is that I can say confidently that every country at a certain stage has to take a step that Namibia has taken if you are to grow a certain industry.
Yeah.
But we are not saying that we have to remain like this permanently, but someone has to cry for someone to laugh.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
And looking
yes.
ahead, are there plans to, like, maybe to modify or expand the framework for border control and import regulation beyond October 2025?
There's always a plan because MSP, it's a live document.
Yeah.
And the close and open border also is a live implementation. We are not static because, unfortunately, we are dealing with a product that is highly perishable.
Mm-hmm.
So horticulture is highly perishable. Anything can happen to it anytime. You just came back from the field. You saw that the cabbages, they look fine. But in the afternoon when you go there, maybe there's something that happened or the rain comes and then destroyed everything.
Yeah.
So it's a live document. I mean, it's, we keep on doing some adjustment here and there depending on the availability. And like I said, we don't just keep something closed for the sake of closing. We keep it closed based on the availability in the local market. If there is nothing, we have to open so that we allow the traders to import in to augment what is available locally.
Okay. Emily, any last word on this topic?
Yes, I just want to lastly to say that I'm happy with what you are doing, Ego FM team.
Thank you.
I think platform like this, they are needed so that we clarify, because you never know what is happening there until you ask.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that we are improving every year in, year out. If you look at where we started, we are improving. A lot of initiatives are coming on board. And currently we are even today, actually, we are launching our crop development strategy, which actually encompasses a lot of things such as agro processing, value addition, a lot of things also. So all what, and also potato development scheme, because we realize that we are also lagging behind in terms of potato. We love potato, but we don't produce it enough. We are actually importing it at 65%, and that's why we want to boost it through introducing a scheme, which is going to be a very interesting scheme, and I know farmers will be able to be enticed and apply.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that we need to work together as industry, and I'm very, very enthused that the media also on your side, you are coming on board.
Yeah.
So we can only do something impactful when we work together. Trust me, I like to say this. If you are a soldier and you are faced with an enemy somewhere, you can't fight alone. You need food soldiers to fight together.
Yeah.
And when you talk about food security for me, or insecurity in this country, for me, a battle on its own, and we need to hold hands, we need to support each other. Where there is clarity that is needed, we need to seek it so that we get clarification. We also need to give our input. Our doors are open. You can come in and you can say, why don't you think we do A, B, C, D? I think that is the only way we are able to grow. And I can tell you, if you never been criticized, whether in a bad way or good way, you will never improve. So we are open for criticism, and I want to tell you that we are trying where we can so that we can grow this industry. And in case of the farmers, we see you, we value you, please continue to toil for us in the field, and we can only eat because of you. So please continue. We will continue to put intervention in place that are favorable for everyone, and also to protect everyone. So I think that is just the word that I have. And also farmers must also start to share ideas among each other, not fighting each other, but rather complement each other's efforts.
All right. Thank you, Emily, for joining us on Unpacking the Day. We appreciate you taking the time to clarify these complex decisions. And thank you again. And we look forward to having you back as these policies unfold. So thank you, and have a nice day.
Thank you so much, Michael. It was also great to have you, and have a blessed day ahead.
Thank you.
All right. That was Emily Abrams, the horticulture market development manager at the Namibian Agronomic Board. So we will be back for your reaction. Stay tuned.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. Our time is about 2 minutes past the hour of 9, and this is Unpacking the Day. And we were having a discussion, a conversation with Miss Emily Abraham, the horticulture market development manager at the Namibian Agronomic Board. So we're looking at the first to the 31st of October this year. The Namibian Agronomic Board is implementing new border control measures specifically for horticultural product. So, and the whole idea is actually to, you know, to make sure that, you know, we have food available and also affordable for Namibians, and also making sure that we are not depending much on other countries for food. This is also to develop our own capacity and create and be able to secure food for our nations. Food security. So what is your take of the discussions that we have? As we said, this whole thing, apparently, what Emily said, is to bolster and actually protect our dedicated local farmers and producers. So, all right, what is your take? What is your reaction? You can come through our telephone number, 083-366-091, 083-366-091.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Dr. Mike.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, man? It's Friday.
Friday, great Friday. what an interesting discussion you had with our dear sister.
My family, yeah. She's quite very, 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 she explained things very well.
Yeah, she explained things yeah. Very, very well.
Mm.
And yeah, if they, you know, what the agro, what is that?
The Namibian Agronomic Board?
The Agronomic Board, what they are doing is, it's quite commendable.
By saying that, actually, I'm thinking that this model of, I would say this is actually the model that should be followed by any other commodities.
Okay. Now, when I say it's quite commendable, It has yielded positive results.
Yeah.
But I also want to say it have yielded short-term positive results.
Okay.
Short-term. When she started, she mentioned why our farmers cannot compete with the South African farmers, especially South African farmers.
Yeah.
She made that statement. And now she say the input cost, the South African farmers, they get their inputs from their country.
From their country, yeah.
It's produced there.
And we get us almost from South Africa.
From there. Mm. Yeah, us, we have to go and buy from them, come and at the end of the day, it becomes very difficult for us to compete with the farmers from there. That is what she mentioned.
Yeah.
And in all the discussion with her, I was waiting to hear what the Namibia Agronomic Board has in mind. Or what are they doing to address that component, which did not come out? Remember, we are talking about free trade.
Yeah.
That is, if you listen to our president, they are talking about we must start trading with each other. We have to start trading with each other.
Yeah.
And if that is the song, or if that is a vision our president has, what they are doing now, closing borders and opening borders, it cannot continue because it is against what we want to achieve.
Yeah.
What we want to achieve as an African, as a continent, is to allow businesses to trade wherever they want to trade without any trade restriction.
But how do you protect your local producers? Your local farmers, for example.
I'm coming. That is what... No, I'm talking about the bigger picture. That is what we want.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Now, how do we achieve that? Remember, if we want to achieve... To be able to trade with South African businesses, or we want to go and sell in South African market, we want to compete among our peers, we need to ask ourselves, how do we address what makes it difficult for us to compete?
Yeah.
Closing, yes, it can in the short term it can be of a help, but it does not address what makes us not to compete. Because remember, when they are closing, it's because our product cannot compete with the product from South Africa.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yes, that is the reason why they are closing. Because if our product, just imagine, you want to sell your product to China, and China knows very well that the cost of production in China is very, very low. And
let me create that. How is that different with what Trump is doing? You know, with the tariff, with increasing the tariff.
No, we'll come back to that.
Okay.
Now, you know, if you want to trade with China, you know that China will not even be bothered by you going to sell your meat in China, as long as they know that their price are competitive. They know that, okay, you can bring your product here, but when you look at our cost, when they look at their cost and they look at the price they are selling their product, it will be very difficult for people to go to your product because it's expensive compared to theirs. Yeah. And that is exactly what is happening here. We know if we don't cross border, we allow South African product to come. Because of the cost of production in Namibia, people will not go for our products. They will always go for South African products. So therefore, for me, the main concern and the main issue that need to be addressed is how do we address the issue of farmers going to buy input from South Africa? Is there anything that we can do? In fact, to be honest with you, people who are controlling the market, they are not worried about crossing the borders because it's a one-man thing or it's a few days things.
Yeah.
But they will never allow you to address the real issue
of the cost of input. They will never allow you to do that.
Yeah.
They will never allow government to set up or whatever a policy that come and say, let us set up our own plants that that produce input here. They will not. They will sabotage it because they know that is a real threat to their product.
For the exactly. Mm.
Yeah, that is their real threat. So as long as we are not addressing the real issue, yes, in the media we can say yes, it's helping, but that is not the issue. The issue is how do we address the issue of imports, of input that we are getting from South Africa? Mm. Can't we establish our own factories or whatever here that is responsible for producing those imports? What are the, how are the South Africans producing those imports? Can we get the same system they are using?
Yeah.
Then producing our own here.
Yeah. But at least to have a frame, a time frame to say, well, we might not be where South Africa is at this point in time, but by this time, we would love that. By this time, we are really competing with South Africa on the same part.
Mm. Yes, because that is where we are going, my friend. When you talk of free trade, that is where we are going. We must be in a position to compete.
Mm.
And we cannot compete by closing border every time. Yes, it's helping now, but it does not address the issue. And our sister from Namibia Agronomic Board did not address that issue. Because I wanted to hear, okay, if these guys they have a cost advantage, what are we doing to also help our farmer to also start having cost advantage in the long run?
Yeah, but what if we aren't able to compete?
What if we are able to compete?
We are not able to compete. So what would be the solution? Wouldn't it be this kind of way? Wouldn't be this strategy? Wouldn't be maybe the most way to do? Wouldn't be this is the right way maybe to at least appease, I would use the word appease, our local producers.
Okay. Now the question is, what if we are not in the position? We are not just in any way in any position. We will never be in a position to compete.
Let's say, for example, we're too far behind and they are too far ahead for us to catch up.
Then we start like what the developed economies are doing.
Yeah.
They are giving subsidies to their farmers.
Mm.
Simple as that. That is one of the option available. And it's where it is done in all the developing economies.
Yeah.
Farmers are given subsidies. They are subsidized on the cost of production.
Yeah.
If you find yourself in that situation, that is one of the options.
Mm.
Yes, give subsidies like what they are doing now. At least you hear there are some stories like a scheme at the Minister of Agriculture where they say, okay, go and buy a bag of fertilizer. The government will pay half of the price. Okay, maybe they should start doing that at the larger scales.
Yeah.
They say, okay, all the farmers that are involving in this kind of agriculture, if you need 1,000 kg of fertilizer, we pay half of that and then you pay half of that.
Yeah.
That is one of the options because that is what other countries are doing, especially developed economy. They are giving subsidies because if you don't have, naturally you don't have competitive advantage. You don't have cost advantage just because of your geographical area. Because remember, geographical area can also play a very important role.
Yeah,
you are prone to drought and all these things. Then the government come and say, okay, maybe we can talk about the subsidies. And why are we not doing it? Because, our masters who that give us money will not allow us to do that.
Yeah.
IMF will not allow us to give subsidies because they think we are using their money.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have we use our money for useless things and we borrow money and we want to use their money for things that are very important. Let us use our money for very important things and use their money for useless things.
All right. Let's hear what others have to say, you know?
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you for coming through, eh?
Okay.
08336691 08336691. So please do come through and and have your reaction or your take of the discussion that we had so far. 08336691 is the number you can dial to get to me. And well, to give you the platform.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. The I.
Well, our handle is Eagle FM Namibia, so that you can get to all our social media platform. Make sure that when you are there, you engage with us, you leave a comment, you know, you share. And we want to engage with you. So, we are on Instagram, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, and all other platforms that are out there. So make sure that you engage us. So, good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So our first item was actually looking at the control measures for horticultural product, the open and close of some products for this coming month. Very important discussion with the previous caller now. A different take, really, which is very important, which is the reason why we discuss these issues here. What is your take? What is your take? How do we help our local farmers, our producers, to be more competitive? Or should we go on with this kind of strategy, with this kind of measures over and over, and we're not really addressing the main problems, you know, that make us not being competitive, you know? So, what is your take? What is your reaction? If you are listening to the discussions, you are most welcome to come through our telephone number. We come into you live from Ondangwa Studio, and our telephone number is 083-66-091. So that's the number you can call to air your views, to air your perspective. The other things that, okay, just because we are on the same line, let's get to also the next, to another segment, which is also complementary to what we have discussed so far. And this is the farmers welcoming the processing centers in all regions. Where did we stop yesterday? As I said, this was actually a story in today's Friday, in Wednesday's edition of the Villager, and it's a story by Lois Shimi. So we were looking at now that, you know, this promise, is it the key to unlocking our agricultural potential, or is it another, you know, those grand vision that we had, as many as those we had, that might, you know, at some point, you know, lose momentum and die a natural death like many other, you know, grand visions that we have. So let's start with the good news. Let's start with the good news, because there is a lot to be excited about. So the idea is simply, the idea is very simple, but very powerful as well. So instead of letting, I've given an example of, at the beginning, you're a farmer and you are in, okay, let's quickly get to the caller.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Mike, why your callers are coming? Give me 2 minutes again. Why your callers are coming?
It's okay. It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. The sister spoke about the producer, the traders,
yeah,
and the consumers.
And the consumers, yeah.
And the consumers. Now, the question that maybe we need figures or data from Namibia Agronomic Board.
Yeah.
How many of our local producers benefit from this window closing, border closing?
Yeah.
Because last week I had a discussion with one of the farmers, and then he is saying it's very difficult to sell your products to well-established shops.
Mm.
Which means the traders that are now getting those products, I don't think all the farmers are given equal opportunities.
Yeah.
Okay? For instance, if I take fruit and veg, how many farmers can directly sell their products to fruit and veg?
Yeah.
How many of the farmers from wherever they are that can sell to Model or it used to be Pick and Pay?
Yeah, Model.
So,
yeah. Mm.
Yes, there is that border closing, but I think the issue of every farmer benefiting is not addressed.
Mm. Mm.
There are farmers who have produced those particular products that they cannot still benefit apart from informal trading. Yes, they can sell it in the open market,
yeah,
but they cannot take their product and sell it. So since I think that part we need, maybe if you get an opportunity to ask the managers and find out, the traders that are involved in getting this product from the farmers.
Yeah, we'll try to see if we can get a traders and see what they would say in terms of these measures. Yeah.
And just to make life for us, the manager to help us, is also to find out what standard do they use, because that's one of the in the global market. Mm. They are using standard to discriminate a certain section of the population of the producer,
the society, of the producer, yeah, or trader. Yeah.
Yes, they will come and tell you that, no, yes, we would love to buy your product, but when we inspect your product, it does not meet the standard.
Yeah.
Because there is a certain standard that they know it's being met by someone that they want to engage with. So, please, I think that component of who are the beneficiary, who are the most, those that benefit from that closing of borders, are we saying all our farmers equally benefit wherever they are in Namibia?
Yeah.
That's the question. I think we need credit or need information on that.
All right. No, I think we will definitely see how we can get some of those in the days to come. Yeah.
Oh,
but
okay.
Because it's very important, yeah, to understand,
yes,
how what are they been from now from the other stakeholders' point of view. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
Do they benefit, or how? Because it's very easy. We can get it from the farmer themselves. They will tell you that, yes. Yes, the window is closed, the borders are closed,
yeah,
but still, you still don't have access to the main, traders.
Yeah. Mm.
So then what difference does it make to the ordinary farmers in Namibia?
Yeah.
Great.
All right, no, thanks.
Mm. 08333-66091. So, if you want to have your contribution as well on our first items. So 0833-66091. So that's a number you can dial. So we're looking at, and then we moved into our second segment. As I said, this is also tied with what we have, that the interview and the discussion that we have in some way. So let's say now when we talk about this, just imagine, you know, for a moment, okay? You're a farmer, let's say, in Angwena, you are probably Mandume, you know. So you and you have really poured your sweat and soul in the field, and you harvested fantastic. You have a good harvest, a crate full of ripe and juicy tomatoes. So, but now here's the problems, and we are talking about this, you know, just now with this. The local market is very small. All right. Now the local market is very small, so you can't sell them all fast enough. Day by day, you watch your hard work, you know, your potential income literally rotting away, you know. So now this is it's a heartbreaking scenario. But that's a reality for many Namibian farmers. So, but now this is the good news. But now there's a new hope, okay? The new hope is on the horizon, okay? So, and the farmers, you know, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah has announced a plan, you know, to build the processing centers across all 14 regions. Now, as I said, well, that sounds a perfect solution, isn't it? You know, so one thing that we want to unpack is this promise now. So is this the key, as I said earlier, is this the key to unlock our agricultural potential? Or is it, as I said, is it another promise that may, you know, come to faint with time? So as I said, this is a good news because there's a lot to be excited about. The idea, it's really good. So, because instead of letting those excess tomatoes that we're talking about, excess tomatoes being spoiled, a processing center could turn them into tomato, you know, tomato paste, into tomato sauce, tomato chutney, you know. So, and also if you have some spinach could be dried and packaged. Your mahangu could be milled and turned into pasta. And also, yesterday I make a reference that I was at the trade fair and I saw some mahangu biscuit could be also turned into mahangu biscuit, you know. So this is what we, you know, this is what everybody talk about. This is what the value addition that people are talking about, the politicians are talking about. It's about taking a raw product, making it into something more, something that lasts longer and sell for a higher price. So, but the farmers quoted in the articles are clearly really thrilled. Okay. They are thrilled. One from Okongo talks about producing more than they can sell. So they said they are producing more than what they can sell, and having a processing plant or a processing factory would actually take care of their excess product. So another from Oshikoto described the long 63 kilometers journey he has to make just to get his rice processed, you know. For him, if there's a local center, which is not just about convenient then for him, but it's a really lifeline, as he said. So it saves time, it saves money, and as he points out, it could inspire more people to start farming. Hopefully, that would be also as some kind of incentive to other people to realize that, ooh, this is a way to go. Let's get into farming. And, well, as Emily was saying, maybe that's the only way now we can be able to improve also our production in Namibia. And as I said the other time, I also said, think about the ripple effect that comes with a center like that. These centers would definitely create jobs, not only for the farmers, but for people running the operation that is taking place in those centers, people that are running the machines, for packaging, you would have definitely people that would be doing the packaging of the product that you'll be producing in there, or processing in there, for the truck drivers, for marketers. So it is an entire ecosystem for economic activity. And that would be right there in the rural communities. So, yeah. And this could be a very powerful tool to fight, you know, it will be a powerful tool to fight youth unemployment and also to slow down the, that immigration, you know, that rush to Windhoek or to the major town, in search of work. So the president vision of achieving food self-sufficiency suddenly feel a little more with reach, you know, within reach. So we could be able to, you know, to see at the end of the tunnel, really. So now, well, on a face value, on paper, it sounds a flawless plan. Nothing actually flawless, but it sounds a very good plan. It tackles food waste, it creates jobs, it empowers rural communities, and strengthens our national food security. So what is not to love, really? What is not to love there? So, but remember, we are here. You are on Unpacking the Day, so where we ask, you know, questions that matter, because as many of us know, Namibia has a history of beautiful, beautiful plants, but don't always translate into beautiful realities on the ground. So we know that. Yeah? So now, does this idea sound, well, when you listen to the idea, does it sound familiar to you? Because it should. It actually should sound familiar, because the concept of value addition, and I had a conversation with, who was that actually? The concept of value addition and agro processing has been a cornerstone of our national development plans, you know, for years. So that has been a cornerstone of our national development plans for many years, from NDPs, whatever NDP you can pick up, you know, that concept of value addition has been always there. Eh? From that NDPs, from one to up to now we are at six, to the Harambe Prosperity Plan, the value addition has been always, you know, a concept that, as I said, a cornerstone of our national developing plans for many, 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 many years. Now, so we've been talking about this for a longer time. So the first question is, what will make this time different? And we have a right, you know, to ask that question. What will make this time different? Now, so the announcement was made by the president at the meeting with the traditional leaders. This is, well, sometimes you have to be political smart, you know, because you need the leaders on board to allocate something, to allocate land and to mobilize communities. So you got to play smart, you know. So, and in this case, I think, so the president does. Now, but what we have to understand is that the political announcement is not implementation strategy. The political announcement is not an implementation strategy. The article, as I said, which is actually, you can go back and read it again. So the article is filled with the what, okay? So with what, but it's a bit silent on the how, you know, and that's why I said the political announcement is not an implementation strategy. So you need the how, you know. So now, how will these centers be funded? You know, who will run them? You know, will they be state-owned enterprises? Who will run? And we know about this. we know about state-owned enterprises, which often struggle with efficiency. Struggle with inefficiency. You know, will be the one that are running this. You remember AgriDev? Is it AgriDev? The Agricultural Business Agency or something like that. You know how it screwed up the AgriDev? Yeah. How it screwed up the green schemes. Yeah? So do we follow the same way of doing things? So those are this, as I said, the how is not actually explained. It's not there. It's still vague, you know. Or will they be public-private partnership? Would they be private partnership? Would it be that be the model that we're going to take? Will they be managed by the farmer cooperatives themselves? So would it be that the case? Or the ownership, because the ownership model is very, very critical to their success or failure. So that ownership model is very, very, very important. So, but let's also talk about the risk of creating white elephant. Now, we have all seen them, okay? We have all seen them. A brand new building, a shiny piece of equipment. But a few years later, the gates are locked and weeds are growing through the concrete, you know? So let's get to the caller and see what he or she has to say. Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Dr. Mego.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself, man?
I'm all right, it's Friday.
Yeah, of course. It's always give us the different vibes, you know?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Hi, Michael.
Yep.
I'm not already in the position of we can agree that, you know, these things are going to be amended. Because remember when you're approaching the election, everything is going to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way I'm looking at it, maybe it can be a political statement, because in the ground there's nothing happening. What about even training people who are going to handle those facilities?
But we can't blame. I always look at that. You should understand. Okay, it's like a comedian, you know.
Yeah.
When a comedian coming on stage and say things, you must understand this is a comedy. You understand?
Yeah.
And whatever he's saying, it could be truthful, but the whole point is actually to make you laugh. So we also have to understand politicians in their context, you know.
Mm.
They are politicians, and they have to speak like politicians. We just have to understand them that they are politicians.
Politicians.
Yeah.
Yeah, because for me, this one can be one of the what, I will increase your pension for 3,000. Then what happened to that? Now we are landing around Gamma Free Education next year. And now, but you are waiting. They say next month it was where we are going, people are going what?
There will be challenge. There will be definitely with the free. There would definitely be challenge. But let's see where it goes. The whole question we sit and said, prove us wrong.
Yeah.
Prove us wrong this time. Okay.
That's true.
Yeah. So that's what we are. We sit and said, "Prove us wrong," you know, because we have been
we had this so many times.
Now, prove us wrong. Yeah.
Exactly. And for me, Michael, is that I'm looking at this thing because it's a nice plan.
Yeah.
If it's going to be established, I'm sure it's going also to cater a lot of youth who are residing in the region. They are saying they are going to establish in 14 regions. Now, I'm looking at it like in Kavango, where you are having mango get rotten. What about now you are having a processing plant where mango can be turned to juice, can turn to something else, dry nut, maybe, you name it. It's a good thing if they are not really playing with our political, playing political cards.
Yeah.
It will be a good thing. And it's a welcome, really, suggestion, because I'm telling you, it's been overdue to establish that project like the one which is saying they are going to set up. Because I'm looking at the things we do.
But you know, Mantume, it's easy for the government actually to put up a processing factory. It's very easy. Yeah. You understand?
That's very easy.
With the money that now probably become, you can put up a processing factory in each region. But the question, think of even the, let's look at the example of the green scheme, for example. What are the challenges of this green scheme for not producing? Let's look at the very important things. The one is actually, one, do you have actually reliable
market?
For example, reliable electricity. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Would it's electricity. The other thing is infrastructure. And the other thing is water,
Yeah.
And the other one, our logistic network. There are so many things that need to go with that. Putting up a building is very easy. And for the government, it's easy to do that. And they can say, well, we ticked it off from our list. We said we are going to implement a 14, we are going to implement these centers in 14 regions. We have. Mm-hmm. They are there. But how sustainable are they? Because...
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
For me, we don't want just something to be established and then it become like a white elephant.
Exactly. That's the
issue. To be happen like the one which we spend a lot of money, billions, when it comes to Nectar Dam, then it's still right there in there. There's nothing going on. But you see, we spend a lot of money which you can use for something else very important. Because now, it's very important, but the problem, I don't know what is handling a government to allocate even private individual to go ahead and to go start doing the what agriculture. Because the dam now is there. You cannot have a reason that the dam doesn't have water. This is full of water now. And now what are we waiting for?
I was even asking the ownership model. What ownership model are you going to look at?
Yeah.
Who is gonna run it? Is it public-private partnership? You will have public-private partnership. Would state-owned enterprises are the one? You would have a state-owned enterprise that is running it. Or the farmer. Maybe you will have the farmer corporates themselves that will be running it. Who will be? The ownership model. Yeah.
Mm. That's the thing.
Or the government itself. Are you going to run that yourself as a government?
Government or how? The thing is, what I'm looking at is that sometimes maybe we need to take it to the community. Once we give it the community, like the way that is conducted with headmen and kings and so on, and queen, I think it's better to give it to the community to learn itself. And for us, I think AMTA, you can also get involved.
You can also you can look at AMTA now. So what happened of AMTA? So what happened of AMTA? Because this is actually a similar thing. It's basically more or less the same. More or less the same thing.
It's the same. And what I'm saying is, no, we create a agency which is about to cater for government, but they end up failing. And remember one thing, that these things cannot just be failing for that people are not competent who are working there, but there are some individuals who are having power, who are handling that process. Because remember that most of our leaders, they are having a share when it comes to these South African tailors. And they make sure that, for them to get a key product is from South Africa. Because now, when you are talking to the lady, I was listening that, no, they do it like to cross the border.
Yeah.
So this certain product, they can get what? A space in retailers. But yeah. You got there. This retailers, I remember one guy was complaining about that. No, these guys, they are saying we must packaging in them, the tomato, because the tomato, they get spoiled. And this guy saying, no, for them, I request if they can provide, I have a logistic when come to transport, but yeah. If they can provide those things to, so we can package them for them.
Yeah.
With a, they can even come with the cost where they can deduct from the, our payout.
Mm.
They refuse. You see?
And exactly. Yeah.
And this is a thing which I'm saying, it's very easy to talk about it when you're in the, come to the radio or in the media.
Yeah.
But in the practical, when you go there to the farm themselves, they will tell you the otherwise. There are so many things our government are doing against the farmers.
Yeah. There are challenges that can be. The thing is that I think sometimes it's when you neglect certain part that are part of the whole, you know, of the whole operations, that's where the problem is come. That's a the problem where it comes. Because those problems can be dealt with. It's not that they cannot be dealt with. Yeah.
Okay.
But when you have limited, because it's like this. And as I said, if the intention is just to tick off the promise that you made, so you make sure that there is a process, you know, there is a process center in each region. But how long that will last?
Going to last, that's the thing.
You know, that's the question. So how long it will last? And then you will say, well, those who manage it, they are not, there were people who didn't manage it right or whatever the case may be, but you haven't looked at other things that part of actually having this run sustainably. I think that's
Michael,
instead of for example having in each of 14 regions, why don't you have 3, you know, and properly with all the infrastructure, with all the things that are needed to run it properly and become even competitive regionally, you know?
Michael, you know what? You are talking about the green scheme facing a problem because every time these people are complaining about electricity and
imagine 1 month, a million electricity, and 12 million a year.
Yeah, you see, just imagine. And is that so difficult to install a solar panel? It's not difficult for government.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there are people who are there. They don't want to lose that contract with the green scheme because either what do you call this? This we have knowledge and then we have what? Nothing. This distribution. What the knowledge?
And we have no right.
Knowledge is making money. No, never. They need to make money out of that green scheme.
Of course.
You see. Then now it's what I'm saying. No, here there are people who are here. Represent. They know that the government is having a good intention. But just individual trying to broke everything because of their own benefit. And this is what is happening. Because you cannot tell me, Mike, it's not that difficult for us to have those plants in the all region and at least they be able to supply clinic, I mean hospital, hostel when it comes to secondary school.
Yeah.
With those food which come from our region. The problem is not that they are not willing because now remember one thing that our hostel even they are procuring from South African retailers. Somebody there, either principal also become a part of what that retailer getting something, getting even a Land Cruiser at the end of the year. To procure. That's what I'm telling you. Things are happening in Namibia. We look only that these people are. To be stealing at the up on top there, but I'm taking the from the ground, starting from the ground, going to hostel or whatever. It's not difficult to establish even like what factory to origin to produce uniform. Where you find yourself like on Dangwa Day, you're having a Luno Secondary School, you are having what you are having even a private. Then you make sure that you know there's no more uniform there to be bought outside of what.
outside of the region even.
Yeah.
So you guys have to procure from this factory a uniform of the prisoner, uniform of the what school, uniform of the nurse. All they must come from that factory. You are empowering because the money that money will be circulating in Ondang only.
Yeah.
But we are not doing that because we are not willing. But the people who are there, do you think those people from who was working at the Lamatex, they are all dead? They are not dead. They are there with their experience. What are we going to do about it? Nothing.
Yeah.
But this is just a practical thing which you can do easily. And then you are able to even to retain your money easily, to recover your money, which
exactly.
You're spending. But we are not doing that because nobody cares. And we are just learning around, come on, you find agreement. But we are the one who creating the situation of the youth.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mike, it's Friday.
It's a Friday, man. So enjoy your Friday and your weekend as well.
Okay, same to you, man.
Okay, great.
Sure.
All right. So let me finish this. We have about 9 minutes because there are a few things that I just, you can discuss this in your community, with your colleagues, just looking at this. So now we talked about that. So let's talk about the risk of creating the white elephants. So, and as I said, we have seen them. A brand new building or a shine piece of equipment, but a few years later, they get, you know, the gates are locked and the weeds are growing through, you know, through those concrete. Now, one of the farmers in the article wisely pointed this out himself, and he said, we need more awareness and education so these centers don't get abandoned. You know, he's right. You know, you can build a factory, but you can't force sustainable business to grow inside it. So you can build a factory, but you cannot force a sustainable business to grow inside it. So those you need to take care of it. So, and actually, this brings us to the next deeper layer of the challenge. Now, a processing center, it doesn't exist in a vacuum. And basically, that's what we're looking at. It needs three things to survive. It needs three things to survive. A reliable input, a reliable infrastructure, and a reliable market. Okay? So it needs those three things, a reliable input, a reliable infrastructure, and a reliable market. Now, let's start with input. Now, the farm are ready to produce, but are the condition right? Another farmer from Oshikoto made a crucial point that goes beyond the processing center itself. He pleaded for better access to water. And he said, relying on expensive tap water isn't sustainable and called for earth dams. So this is a strong concern. Eh? This is a strong concern. So water, he said, relying on tap water is really expensive and it's not sustainable. So, and those are some of the things that we highlight. The other thing, what about electricity? We talk about electricity. This center will need consistent, reliable power. And can our grid, especially in the remote areas, support them? You know, can they support, you know, without constant in interruptions? Now, then, as I said, then you have the infrastructure. Now, so then you have the infrastructure to get your produce from the farm to the processing center, like what actually Mandume was saying. You need a decent road. Yeah? You need a decent road to get your finished jar, to get your finished jar of tomato sauce from, let's say, from the center to a shop in Katutura or in Swakopmund or wherever. You need an even better logistic network. So those things need to be in place for this actually to work. And finally, the market. Okay?
So this might be, and actually this might be the biggest challenge of all, the market. And that's what we were talking about also earlier. Let's say our new center, you know, we have a new center in Hangwena, okay, produced a fantastic bottle of Helauna Fidi tomato sauce, okay? Let's call it Helauna Fidi tomato sauce. It's fresh, it's local, it's Namibian. Now, it goes to the shelf in the supermarket, right next to the well-known brand from South Africa that we have been buying for decades. Now, as a shopper now, so now we have this new product, which is local, which is Namibian, and in the supermarket we put it next to the well-known brand now from South Africa, and we have been buying this, you know, for decades now. You are a loyal customer for that. Now, as a shopper, what do you do? Yeah. So what do you do? The Namibian product might be, and the Namibian product might be a dollar or two more expensive because it doesn't have the same economies of scale, you understand, given the input that goes into it. Now, well, looking also, maybe the packaging might less be flashy compared to the, you know, to the South African one, or compared to the imported one. So are we as a nation prepared to consciously, and this is very important, to consciously choose local, even if it costs a bit more? Are we consciously, you know, prepared to choose local, even if it costs a bit more, to support our own farmers? Because that, even when we were talking earlier about earlier call, that's the issue. It's not just about, this is at the stakeholder, you have now the consumer. As a consumer, are we consciously, you know, can we consciously choose local over the brand that you used to? Even if it's just a little bit and a bit more. As a consumer, sometimes, you know, I can, sometimes it depends on the service and all that. So I can pass, I have a filling station that's next to my house, but I go to another filling station that far from my house because, you know, that's where, because of the experience that you get. Sometimes it's about experience, sometimes it's about the price. So those are things that comes in as well. Now, competing with the established giant, I think it requires not just a good product. Yeah? It doesn't just require good product, it requires brilliant marketing, it requires branding, it requires, you know, fiercely loyal custom based. You have to create that. So, and that doesn't happen overnight. So am I saying this is a bad idea? Hell not. Absolutely not. Okay? Absolutely not. It's a fantastic, necessary idea, but an idea without a bulletproof plan is just a dream. And we need to move beyond dreaming. We need to move beyond dreaming. For this to succeed, we need to see a few things happen. Okay? Now, first, based on what, looking at the articles, we need a detailed, transparent plan. We, the public, need to know the how. Who is paying? Who is running the show? What are the timelines? So we need to know. Eh? For now, it's just a promise in a junk. You know, it's kind of like, you know, bundled up, but we don't know what is inside. So we need to know what is inside. Secondly, we must tackle the foundational issues, the foundational issue first. The call for water by the farmer is not a side issue. Okay? Call for water by the farmers. The farmer said we need tap water, will be expensive. We need earth dams. So that's not an inside issue. If it's not taken care of, you will at one point come to a standstill because that's going to be expensive to run. So it is the central issue. Electricity is the central issue. We need to invest in water infrastructure, reliable energy, and rural roads. at the same time as we're building these centers. So one cannot work without the other. So those are things that are comes out. And thirdly, the farmers' call for education is vital. The call for education. So this requires a massive skills development push. You know, farmers need training, not just in agriculture, but in business management, in quality control, in food security, food safety standards, and of course in marketing. So let's empower them to run these centers as businesses, not just supply them with produce, you know. So, and finally, it requires partnership. The government can't do it alone. The traditional leaders can't do it alone. And the farmers can't do it alone. So this needs a strong handshake, between the public sector, the private sector, and of course the community, so the community themselves. So, yeah, so the plan for processing center in all 14th region is bursting with potential, really. So it speaks to our deepest aspiration for a prosperous and self-sufficient Namibia, you know. So the enthusiasm from farmers is real and is very infectious, you can see. But a promise is only, someone actually told me this, that a promise is only as good as its execution. You know, it's only as good as its execution. So the success of this vision depend not on the building themselves, but on the groundwork we lay first. The groundwork that we lay first. Water, power, road, and definitely skills. So it depends on the realistic plan that addresses the tough question of funding, of management, and market competitions. So we must move from political promises to practical. As I said, we are now in the position and we said, okay, prove to me that this is going to be different. So we must move from political promises to practical, on the ground action. So the question I probably leave with you today is this. So what role can you play? As a consumer, you have a role to play. Will you be willing, as I was saying earlier, will you be willing to support this future Namibian-made product? Are you supporting this? You know, are you supporting already Namibian-made product? So, as a community member, how can you support local farmers? And what is the one thing you believe the government must get right to turn this promise into a reality? Because we want it to be a reality. So think about it. Talk about it wherever you find yourself. Our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of 10. And that brings us to the end of Unpacking the Day. So the way of you that actually, you know, coming through, calling, I completely ignore that because I wanted actually to finish this.